Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Previously on Three of Hearts. Spar and Velen began their road trip to Stoneloft, accompanied by Sorrel, Ishbala, Merafina, and Josepha. With the help of Josepha's partner Devante, who turned out to be Velen's long-lost rival, the agents recovered their equipment, which had been confiscated by Governor Thorne. Among the gear was a letter from Velen's Uncle Grey, who stated she never wanted any harm to come to Velen, or for things to get as bad as they had gotten. She also gave Velen instructions on how to cast an invisibility spell. The spell seemed to come in handy later that evening as the party encountered Nat Cobblestone, a member of Thorne's Bramble Guard, intent on arresting the former suit's agents. But Nat's divine magic allowed her to see through the invisibility. The party appeared to leave her behind as they drove into the night, only to find themselves pursued by Nat riding a massive heron.
So we resume with Nat and riding Kalinda. It is dark. You guys are riding through a road on some hilly terrain, kind of lightly dotted with trees. There's a bird above you in the sky with the glowing yellow eyes, as well as Nat's glowing yellow eyes. And I think it only makes sense to go into initiative here.
Sure.
Which means that Jordan should have been prepared with stats, and I will do that now.
Uh-huh.
I need two copies of the Space King's book, and one needs to live here, or wherever it is Shelby lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is everyone's initiative?
5.
4.
I'm going to stick with the same thing where NPCs, which by the way are Ishbala, Sorrel, and Josepha, oh, and Merafina, are just like able to be used during one of your turns as like a bonus thing.
Mm-hmm.
5 and 4, and this works great, question mark, because we'll have one enemy before, one enemy after you.
Why are there two enemies?
Because Kalinda has their own initiative. So, Nat is up first and is going to draw her rifle atop Kalinda and just take a shot through the roof of the car, more intending to do damage to the car than any particular person. So, like, more like at the hood of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If the car has the same dodge as Ishbala, then hopefully that means that they have more dodge than Velen did.
Yes. Hold on. Let me remember how I did that, because NPCs don't have dodge, but I think it's only fair that the car does have dodge. I feel like we discussed this last time.
That's how we did it for the motorcycle chase.
Right.
But in that one, Velen was driving, and Velen is a PC.
Who has dodge, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think what ended up happening last time was I flipped "I'll cover you."
Which and you gave dodge to the car.
To dodge, but it didn't have... I think we did not resolve what to do about dodge not added to it.
Right, so like future dodge. Is that what you're saying?
No, like it's base dodge. We just didn't...
Right, yeah, that's what I mean, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we made a decision last time is what I'm saying.
Okay.
We dodged having to make one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think... Let me just flip for Ishbala then, like a driving flip, and like that's going to be how much dodge the car has during the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2. Okay. Ishbala did quite good. Oh, but that's not a Queen of Hearts. That's what I thought it was for a second. That's still good. So Ishbala got 3 successes, which is also how many successes Nat got. So, you know. It's a wash. Ishbala is driving, you know, pretty erratically, knowing that someone is pointing a gun in the direction of the car, and the bullet totally misses the vehicle. It is Bellum and Spark's turn.
Did Nat announce her name when she was trying to stop us?
Yes, you do have your sleuthing.
Okay.
I also want to draw this connection now. Say, like, since you guys got to see her, even though she was wearing a helmet before, just based on build and the rifle she was using, this is the Bramble Guard who was in the sidecar during the motorcycle chase.
Now that we've gotten the equipment back, one of the things that Vellum has is a net launcher.
Ooh.
I think he's going to try and use that. But first, can we roll down the windows in this car? I don't know.
So I have questions. First question is, does this model have a sun or moon roof?
No, but it does have rollable windows for sure.
Okay. Second question is, do you want to hand your net launcher to Spar, who can use his stats, and then you do something with the radio or something else magical?
Sure.
Well, I'm thinking about, like, who has better shooting stats. We might be up to even by now.
Vellum's got a practice in firearms now.
Yeah. Well, if you let me do it, I bet either I'll cover you or give and take. I bet Jordan would let me let those apply because they're both about, like, attacking an enemy.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
You bet correctly.
So what's the flip for shooting a net gun?
I think it's agility firearms.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Huge news.
Yeah.
There is a model of the 2019 Honda Odyssey that has a sunroof.
Is it a 2019? Is that what year it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we have a sunroof?
I think you have a sunroof.
Yay. It allows so many more hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Ela, tell me if you disagree. But I think this probably looks like Vellum, like, hits the button for the sunroof and then starts rummaging around in his bag.
Uh-huh.
And Spar is, like, putting two and two together and, like, kind of clambers over the seats so he can, like, poke his head and shoulders up through and, like, gets himself situated before he takes the shot.
That's good.
Good.
He's, like, half climbed out and then has one hand reached back towards Vellum. He doesn't know what Vellum's going to put in his hand, but he'll shoot it.
Uh-huh.
So agility is 3. Firearms is 2. I'm going to... so that's 5. I'm healthy as 6 and 7 for investigation.
All right.
Okay. I shuffled too well. Okay. That's no successes, 1 joker.
Oh, I was going to say, that was the Joker voice. No, okay.
Okay. So then we have, let's see, drive. I have 6 drive. 1 drive, 2 drive. I'm not going to push because we're at the very, very, very top of this fight. So that's 1 success, 1 joker.
Okay. You launch the net gun for 1 success. Let me resolve the joker first. I think the joker is that this thing has a lot of kickback. And maybe Spar's never fired the net gun before.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically you need to flip me a brawn... athletics, I would think, to or brawn. I think maybe like, is acrobatics a thing?
No, acrobatics would be athletics.
Okay, so brawn athletics to not fly out of the sunroof of his vehicle.
He's only sticking his shoulders out, though.
It seems like due to the laws of physics, he would be like knocked back into the car, but.
Okay.
Just because of like how bodies and gravity are.
Yeah, you're right.
How about I'd be willing to flip the same flip to see if he takes damage or takes
harm? Yeah, like whether he like knocks his head in the car or not. Yeah.
Yeah, or like takes like launches his torso back into the edge of the sunroof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sounds good.
Okay.
This is the new and improved model. It has more chutzpah in it.
You know, and chutzpah's what you want in your guns.
Yeah,
that's true.
Brawn is 3. Athletics is 2, so that's 5. I'm healthy, makes 6. Okay, well, let's get it out of the way early. That's going to be a crit, an additional success, and a joker.
Okay.
All right.
4 successes, 1 joker.
Okay. This is a pretty easy joker. So 4 successes, you do, like, a really impressive, like, tumble to, like, protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're, like, falling into the car, but you do, like, a cool somersault. But in doing so, you do grab the handle of the car and open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we leave Spar, you are, like, precariously hanging out the side of the car, like, trying to regain composure.
Yeah, that's where Spar belongs. That's
falling off or almost falling off vehicles is Spar's new thing.
You say new.
New canonical thing.
We just haven't been in many vehicles.
Didn't Spar almost get thrown out of the boat back in, like, episode 3?
Mm.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Yep. I think the very first train is the only vehicle he's been in that has gone okay for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not okay for the train, but okay for Spar.
I mean, mm-hmm. fairly okay for the train. The train didn't get, like, demolished or run off the rails.
Could have been destroyed by Shark Person.
It just lost a couple cars.
For sure, for sure.
Temporarily.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So one success of the actual net shooting, you don't, like, it doesn't successfully, like, capture Nat and Kalinda. Like, they're able to kind of maneuver, but it does, like, get in their faces. Like, the net is on them, but it is not, like, surrounding them or stopping them from moving, but, like, it is, like, in their face, and they're going to have less flips to do actions to let you get that resolved. And
thank
it
you.
Is,
I'll take it.
It is Vellum's turn.
So they're tangled up, but not fully captured.
Correct.
Okay.
And Spar's falling out of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what you want to do with your turn? Because if not, I have a suggestion.
I had a couple ideas. What is your suggestion?
My suggestion would be for Spar to throw the gun to Vellum and have Vellum try to, like, either reel back the net so they can reshoot it. And, like, maybe pull Kalinda and Nat more off balance. Basically, like, try to leverage what we have. But also, if you have something else that you want to do or something that's cooler, you should do that instead. Especially because there's, like, magic stuff you can do that I can't.
Is this a retractable net gun? That's fine. I just didn't realize. That's not how I was picturing it.
I was picturing it, like, attached like a harpoon, kind of, where okay. there's, like, rope.
Love
and
it.
Then you just, like, hand over hand.
Love it, love it, love it.
Maybe there's also a non-retractable one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what model we got. I also have grappling hooks, and I was thinking about using them to essentially tie the grappling hook to a net and then grapple hook it to, like, a tree and try to leave them behind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, like, okay, I see what you're saying. So, like, they would be stuck to the tree.
Yeah.
That's a cool move.
Yeah, do it.
That seems like a wit engineering move to me.
Okay.
Or gadgetry, but I think they're both quite good for you.
Gadgetry is better.
Okay, I can call it gadgetry.
Okay. Wit is 3. Gadgetry is 4. 1 for eclectic. 1 for healthy. Okay, so does the net launcher have a connection that we can pull
Yeah, it
on?
Does have a rope attached to it. Yeah.
Okay. Then I guess Vellum will tie a fancy knot between the net launcher rope and the mm-hmm. grappling hook.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess depending on how this flip goes, we'll see what happens next.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. I did the opposite. I either shuffled very well or poorly. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I got 2 jacks, a queen, and then the queen of hearts and the 3 of hearts.
Whoa, that's the name of the podcast.
So that is 9 successes?
Holy moly. Okay. Holy moly.
So Vellum also cut the lead on the net launcher. That way we can still hold on to the net launcher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. Okay. So they are now. Yeah. Okay.
Eula, while Jordan's thinking about how to process you having obliterated the maximum number of successes, mm-hmm. you uh-huh. want to talk about, like, cinematically what this looks like vis-a-vis, like, Vellum and Spar working together, like, where Vellum goes to shoot from, like, what's all that look like?
So I think Vellum, like, he's a little bit worried about Spar halfway leaning out of the car, but this is not the first time this has happened, so he's hoping he'll be okay. And mm-hmm. also maybe Merafina or somebody can grab a hold of his arm and pull him back in. Vellum pops his head out of the sunroof. He's got the net launcher. He does a really nice fancy knot to keep it all secure to the grappling hook. Cuts the line to the net launcher. And then, would this need to be a separate flip to toss the grappling hook around a tree?
For 9 successes, it most certainly does not need to be a separate
flip. Okay.
Yeah, so you do that. I flipped for Kalinda to see if somehow this bird could get 9 successes on 6 cards.
Uh-huh.
They got one. Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, if there was like 2 crits in there, it actually would have mm-hmm. been fine. But there was not any crits. There was just one jab king. So Bird is effectively out of combat, like tangled up in this tree. And Nat is going to get one chance to do something about their current situation mm-hmm. with some negative flips because of, you know, Nat situation. Okay. I had a cool idea for what Nat could do earlier, and then I was like, it's too badass. And I'm like, well, now it's just the time to do the badass thing.
I think maybe Vellum is a little surprised that that worked so well. And is also, like, kind of looking around if anyone else saw that, if he really just did that.
Later, when telling this story, Spar will then say, I taught him everything he knows.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Quickly realizing what has happened, Nat jumps off Kalinda and in midair during their descent transforms into a large bear as you realize that Nat is a werebear.
Mm-hmm.
Are they part of the Kumanichi?
They are. And so, sorry, she is. She hits the ground she did pretty good. She got 3 successes and a Joker. And so for the 3 successes, she's going to hit the ground unharmed. For the Joker, she was aiming for the Odyssey to land on top of it. That does not quite work. So she is behind the Odyssey, chasing after you guys as a very, very large and scary bear. Not too far behind.
9 successes didn't tangle her up.
It took out the bird.
9 successes. I'm just checking. Because 7 cuts a spaceship in half with a sword.
Uh-huh.
9 successes doesn't attach 2 people to a tree.
I don't think it's fair to not give the opposition a chance to recover.
Mm-hmm. And she did for 3.
I don't know. What does Eula think?
I could see her maybe being more delayed because, like, the net didn't have, like, a ton of successes to fully entangle them. But the grappling hook mm-hmm. certainly made that more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's got to spend a turn getting herself out of the net and then transforming into the bear and chasing.
Here's what I'll give you. Hmm. Because you're right, I think it would delay, and also car is faster than bear. That's just a science fact.
Unless we're going bear miles an hour.
Yeah. You see this happen, and you know that there is still a angry and pretty fast werebear after you, but you are mm-hmm. able to quickly leave it in the dust. Mm-hmm. Does that seem fair?
Yes, I'll accept that, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Thank you for negotiating.
Mm-hmm. What are y'all doing after that? Like, what's the vibe? Like, I do think we're, like, out of initiative right now.
Mm-hmm. Vellum pops back down into the car and checks to see if Spar has gotten himself fully into the vehicle again.
I think so, yeah. I think he mm-hmm. probably, like, ducked back in and closed the door, yeah.
Yeah, and there's other people, so maybe, like, Josepha helped him in or something.
Mm. Vellum closes the sunroof and locks the car doors so that doesn't happen next time.
Spar sort of looks around the car and is like, so, was that... Anybody know them? Or was that just a plain old bramble guard? Is this personal, is what I'm asking, the car at large? Just in case. You know, that seems... It's happened before.
We may have tussled with them before, but otherwise I am not familiar with that particular person, no.
Sorrel says, 4 months ago, I accidentally processed her paycheck late, and I fear this could be about that.
I always knew that you'd lead us into a life of danger, Sorrel.
She nods solemnly.
That was exciting.
Merafina says, that is one word for it, yes. Is everyone unharmed?
Spar gives a thumbs up.
Everything appears to be everyone okay?
Ishbal is like, I don't know, that bird seemed pretty pissed.
I mean, yeah, that happens when you get caught in a net. I can confirm it's not a pleasant experience.
What do you mean you can confirm?
One of the times when I was kidnapped, I was caught in a net.
One of the times? One of the times?
We've already established...
No, not in fiction.
Yeah, the boy, like, not between the boys.
Really? I thought that, like, back when, way back in one of the early episodes, I thought that Vellum and Spar talked about Vellum having been kidnapped several times.
I think it's just an agent fact.
Oh, okay. Go mm-hmm. ahead, then.
Spar puts his head in his hands. One of the times. Your file is woefully incomplete, Agent Cowlin fucking Vellum. I will be reporting this to suits management should such a thing ever exist again.
Ishbala says, well, was... Vellum, were you on the job when you got kidnapped, or was this more of a personal thing?
This is a personal thing.
Yeah, I don't see why it needs to be in his file.
You've clearly never read your own file.
No, why would I do that? Who does that? How do you even... Where are they even stored? Like, can we just do that?
Is what Spar says.
Uh-huh. Generally, the personnel files are fairly well guarded and kept in a nice locked cabinet so that... You know, if we had another situation like Timby that somebody didn't use the information within for nefarious purposes, I, however, am perhaps not as surprised as I should be that Agent Felspar knows exactly where this cabinet is and how to get around the lock. I will have to upgrade it next time I'm in the office.
Ishbala says, if there's ever an office again... Spar, you have to take my fridge cleaning duties for a year, or I'm telling Jack.
No, no deal. Jack knows.
Fuck.
Jack was there. He just watched it happen. Jack was like, yeah, okay.
No, he gave Spar a very stern talking to so he would feel bad about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I think also probably Jack is smart enough to know that if he employs an entire building full of agents whose job it is to, like, locate information and get into things and places they're not wanted. Uh-huh. I think he just he took that. He was like, yeah, no, that's a lost fucking cause.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Makes sense.
And also probably just trusted Spar with the information that he found and that he wouldn't use it.
Yeah, Spar didn't want the information. He was just bored and picking locks.
Spar is just like, well, I guess I just respect your privacy more than you respect mine. And that's definitely the reason I've never done this.
You know, I've always said you're an upstanding woman.
Thank you.
You'll have to inform me what other pertinent details you think should be in my file so that when I work with others, they are fully prepared.
I don't know if anyone's ever going to be fully prepared to work with you.
Vellum, like, bumps his shoulder against Spar and mm-hmm. says, but that's the fun of it, isn't it?
Spar sort of looks at him and is like, yeah, enough fun to drive one to an early grave, I think.
Oh.
And he doesn't mean it as a low blow. Like, he mostly means it as, like, now he's stressed because he knows that being captured is a habit of Vellum's.
A habit?
Mm-hmm. And it's a bad one, and he's going to try to break him of it.
Sorrel says, gag, can Ishbala, is there any way we can get them a separate car?
You know, depending on how things shake out, I may or may not be kidnapped less frequently in the future.
Less frequently, he says. Like, it's a good thing, he says.
What does that mean? Depending on how things shake out, you might be kidnapped less frequently.
I assume a lot of the kidnappings are to blackmail and influence Gray, and also potentially to get some of their money. And depending on how this case goes, there's a lot of things that could happen with Gray and with me, and I don't know what exactly that will look like.
Oh, so you're saying that things could be worse and darker, and that's why you'll be kidnapped less?
Potentially, yes.
Great!
Yep.
Well, I'm glad we've squared that away. Spire says, and it's like reholstering his own gun and, like, just finished packing up the grappling hook and the net gun and everything. Sort of a decisive zipper.
Would you like me to write a report on all the various times I've been kidnapped and threatened? It'll take a little while, but I can do it.
Spar has two wolves inside him. One is like, no, I don't want to know. This is very stressful. And the other is like, but if I can put together, if I can collate all of the information, then I can understand what the patterns are and how to prevent them in the future.
Mm-hmm. And any potential enemies or baddies that we might have to face in the future could be on that list.
I think not knowing whether Vellum is joking or not, he just kind of bumps his shoulder against Vellum's.
I'll get right on it, Vellum says, and pulls out a little notebook and pen. Whether or not Spar chooses to read the list is his own decision, but...
So, Ishbala says, it's getting pretty fucking late. Everyone's coming off, you know, a long day after a long day after a long day. Where it's not really civilization for a minute here. Do we get out and do we camp? Or do we keep going because there's an angry bear after us? Like, I'm not really sure what the move is here.
I vote keep going. If you're okay with someone else driving, perhaps you should get some rest, but...
Hold on, let me ask if that's okay. Ishbala's going to flip persuasion with the car.
Vellum looks to Spar like, what does that mean?
Spar whispers back to Vellum, I thought you would know.
Ishbala got two face cards and then a three of hearts, which is the name of the podcast.
Mm.
She says, yeah, she says it's cool, but only if you ask nicely. Whoever wants to drive is going to have to sort of sell her on it.
Okay. Out of character, does anyone beside Ishbala and Vellum drive?
I'm sure Spar has driven a car before.
In dire circumstances.
Yeah, like he can push the pedals, but like it's not going to be graceful.
Mm-hmm.
Merafina's probably a no.
Josepha's probably a yes, I'll say.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's every... Well, Sorrel...
Well, so I was thinking about Sorrel, and like in the B team, right? Iris has...
Driven a boat.
Like, yeah, adaptations. And I was also thinking about how the Odyssey arrived built for crocodilian driving. So mm-hmm. I assume like whatever those modifications are can be undone as well.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It could be Sorrel.
Is there another NPC? I feel like...
Nope, that's the
Ishbala would have been the fourth. Yeah,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think driving in shifts is the way to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Does Josepha or Sorrel volunteer to drive or anything?
If neither of the boys do, Josepha will.
Okay. I think Velum could... He might want to rest because he didn't get a nap earlier like Spar.
Okay. Yep, Josepha will drive.
Okay. Velum will nap.
Okay.
So that he can drive later.
Yes. We will continue our road trip. But first, we're going to go on our own road trip to the Mitra. Which is where we are now. Wow.
Wow, that was fast.
Didn't even have time to open my snacks.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Mitro. I'm Jordan Quiverance. I'm the host, GM, wingman, navigator, auto mechanic of this podcast.
Do you have pronouns or nah?
Auto mechanic. My pronouns are they and them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loosely on Twitter at Jordan Quiverance. And that's it. I hope you like this show. And that's sort of my deal.
Do you have an agent fact for the world or an NPC?
I really should have thought of one. Someone else go first. I'll think of one.
I'll go next because I usually do. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr. The link's down below. And my agent fact today comes to us courtesy of friend of the pod Hera, who is Rocks and Prose on Tumblr, who through some vibing and some tangents established that when Spar's like waiting for a case to be assigned and he like doesn't have anything to do, he carves on the underside of his desk. And furthermore, this is something that Jack not only doesn't hate but appreciates because not many people create art for a corgi's vantage point.
Oh,
adorable.
That's very good.
Yeah.
My fact is actually about Nat. Nat also has another bird, a very small bird named Flick, who is also present. Flick is like the size of two fists together.
Oh.
Itty bitty bird, very round.
Oh.
And is riding the back of bear form Nat currently in the pod. And that's that. Ela is also on the podcast.
Hi, I'm Ela Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Velum. He and I both use they and he pronouns. For this week's Agent Velum fact, when there's downtime at the office, Velum will pull out a little book of puzzles, whether it's like little Sudoku puzzles or crosswords or anagrams or other little puzzles that he can kind of play with for a couple minutes until something comes up that demands his attention. Maybe sometimes there's a Rubik's Cube in his office, I don't know. He does a lot of crafting and creative work at home, but usually doesn't bring it with him to the office because it's too distracting and he'll get... too deeply involved in that headspace and, you know, like stop working for 3 hours if he does.
The image of like the little paperback book with, like, you know, the pages folded back and, like, a little stubby pencil is extremely mm-hmm. Vellumcore to
yeah,
me.
For sure. Okay. Let's get back to the podcast. I hope you enjoy the rest of it. Whee! Sleepy today. All right. Like 25 minutes into the Sefa driving, are the boys asleep?
Vellum is going to nap.
Yeah. Yeah. Boys are asleep.
Okay.
Does Spar have, like, his head on top of Vellum's head on top of Spar's shoulder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're definitely, like, using each other as pillows.
Good. Meanwhile, Sorrel is gagging again.
Mm-hmm. Sorrel has, like, a little sleep mask on and earplugs, and she's out.
Aw.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what's the best series of events here.
Is Ishbala also resting?
Yeah. Marafina's awake. I don't know if Marafina even
good.
Can sleep.
I figured at least one other character should be awake.
Yeah.
Keep Josefa company, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marafina as everyone's ideal company.
They can talk about magic together.
And
yep. And cats.
Remember when we could do magic? Yeah, that was cool.
Maybe they both love really, really big hats.
Maybe. Oh, I think that sounds right.
I like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You all awake with a start as the car lurches and screeches, and Josefa is pounding on the brakes or floor, you know, stomping on the brakes, and you all kind of lurch forward, and you see through the windshield that a large net has been dropped on your car.
Oh no.
And you recognize it as the very same net that you launched at a bird.
How did they catch up with us?
Well, that's a good question. That is all you see currently.
Is the net, like, on the windshield? Is that why Josefa panicked?
Yeah, well, it's on the windshield and also the front of the car. Mm. So, like, it like got under the tires.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
If I roll down the window and stick my head out, can I see anything?
Will you flip me a wit investigation?
Sure. Does sleuthing apply here?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Wits for investigation is 4, unless something terrible's happened, so that's 8. Healthy is 9, and sleuthing is 10.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4 successes.
Okay. For 4 successes, you see... Yeah, I'll say you see... So there's like a couple trees not too far away. You see Nath in the tree lining up a shot, and you hear Josefa kind of like panicking, apologizing, and she's just like, I don't know what happened, I started to get very hungry and it was hard to concentrate, and I think I was maybe not driving as fast as I could, and I was panicking because I was like, I don't know who I could drain, because then you guys would get sleepy, and I don't even know if I could write Ishbala, and Marafina said no, and so I'd probably kill Sorrel, as you guys are, like, are kind of our fighty team, so I was like, I shouldn't make Zen more tired, and so I don't know what to do, and then this happened.
Okay, can you keep driving? Will the car keep going?
Yeah, I think so. She hits the gas, and I think, yeah, like, the result would be, the car would pull the net underneath it if the tires went. Mm-hmm. That seems right to me. So she begins accelerating again just as that gunshot goes off.
Mm-hmm. Let's
How long has it been since Josepha started driving?
30 minutes or so.
Okay, so not very long.
Yeah. Maybe closer to an hour. But anyway, Josepha got no successes in a Joker on driving and being aware.
Do we want to ante it? What do you think?
No, that'll... Sorry. Oh, I should have shared that earlier. Shit. Do we want to retcon that?
I think probably, yeah. No successes in a Joker... I think it's worth killing that one. I've already pulled both of mine, so.
Okay.
Yela, what do you think?
Either way, either we get rid of this one or we still have it for potentially the conflict that's about to happen.
Well, the conflict might not happen if there's no Jokers.
Right. I'm okay with anteing this one.
Yeah, let's kill this one.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. Let me think for a second.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, so then I think instead what happens is that the car pulls over. Josepha wakes you all up and says, okay, we are in a bit of a pickle. Well, I'm in a bit of a pickle. And then she explains what she just told you, you know, that she needs to eat, which will make someone very tired.
Spar will ask, does it have to all come from one person, or can you...
It could be from multiple people.
And Ishbala, are you willing to give it a try? I'll go halvesies with you.
Flip charm persuasion.
Sure. Charm is 2. Persuasion is 2. So that's 4. And I'm healthy as 5. 2 successes.
Okay. For Ishbala, that's sufficient. She's like... You know, I'm all for new life experiences. Fuck it.
I'm also willing to chip in.
Okay.
Spar looks at Vellum and is like, you know, I know, no offense, Josepha. I know it's different. But enough people have sort of tried to take your blood and other essences. I think if Ishbala and I can do this one.
Okay.
Let's take care of it.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Josepha does not drink blood, but she does drink, like, energy. But she does still bite you for it. Where does Spar want to be bitten?
What's Josepha's preference?
Arm is fine.
And then, yeah, he's right-handed. He'll give her his left.
Okay. Like if you're giving blood kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Will you flip... I guess brawn biology to see how affected you are by this.
Sure. Brawn is 3, biology is 2. Healthy makes 6. And part of why I offered this is because I have like a pretty strong bar of health. So like even if she takes me down a couple.
Yeah.
I will probably still be okay. Crit.
Oh, you critted? Nice.
Yep.
So how many successes?
3.
Nice. Okay.
Part of why I offered is because I would potentially be able to use body and mind again. And I figured it would be biology, which is another thing Vellum is good at. Mm-hmm. And I've only flipped one thing so far, but... I also understand narratively where Spar is coming from in regard to not letting people take things from Vellum that he might need. Like his blood.
And it like he understands it's not the same.
Uh-huh.
But
just in case. Okay. So the way I had it work is 4 minus your successes is how much health is lost. So it's only 1 for you?
Yep, and that does not bring me to the injured condition. Nice. So I can continue to flip as healthy.
Nice. So yeah, you just get a little sleepy. You're, like, winded for a second, but then you, like, kind of recover from it quickly. It's a weird sensation. Like, it's almost as if you just did a bunch of exercise, but you didn't.
So how I feel after therapy?
Yeah. And Ishbala got 2 successes, so she's a little bit worse for wear, but not too bad. Yeah, Joseph says, okay, I think I'm good to go now. Hopefully there will not be any more incident.
How long do you have till you need to eat again?
I'm usually good for, like, a day or two after I, like, top off. I just have kind of... I forget sometimes. You know, bodies. What's even ours say?
That's why Shrug's like, I don't know.
And if you need to switch out, I believe Sorrel or I could take the next driving shift. Just wake us up.
I think I'm good. I just have a question. Mm. So we're about 6-ish hours from Stoneloft. Is there some, like, a nice place to stop that I know of on the way? It's like a pit stop for these very thing. Do we want to risk such a thing and get everyone some proper sleep before we go into Stoneloft? Because we have no idea what that will be like. Or do you just want me to carry on?
Where is it you're thinking of?
Hey, Ela.
Mm.
How do I pronounce the name of Vellum's home?
It is Yue Liang.
Yue Liang?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she says, yeah, this is a little... It's hidden. Sort of, it's called Yue Liang.
All right. Yeah, It would be good to stop by. I haven't been back for a while.
Oh, you're familiar.
That's where I was born.
Oh. Okay, so that's great. I mean, it's great to be born places. Wow. Spar got to visit his hometown, which I know he loves, and then we're going to Vellum's hometown, and then we're going to my hometown. Ishbala, Sorrel, where are you from? Oh, wait, Sorrel, I know where you're from.
Merafina, we don't know, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Merafina no. is an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
Merafina sprang into being when at some point, and she is already in a hut.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Merafina says, I come from the dark places beyond your darkest dreams.
That sounds right.
I don't know. Some of my dreams are pretty fucked up.
Well, the place I come from... I'm not French. The place I come from is just a little bit more fucked up than that.
Hmm.
It's unclear if she's being facetious or serious in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of her whole vibe.
Where's Ishbala from?
Is Vellum asking that?
Yeah.
I'm from Vasa Obscura.
Okay.
It wouldn't be, I mean, we could go. That'd be really out of the way, but we could go there.
We'll put it on the list.
When we get home. I think I promised to take Vellum to a club, so.
Interesting. All right, that sounds good. Okay. So. Do you guys just sleep the rest of the way to Yue Liang?
Yeah, unless Josepha needs us or...
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anything like that, I think getting some rest is probably a good idea for everyone involved.
Alrighty.
Under the best of circumstances, Spar's a spontaneous napper, and this week has not been the best of circumstances. So, almost any time he's not in motion under his own power.
Okay, can you guys both flip me 6 cards just to see how nice your nap is?
Oh, okay.
1 success.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2 successes.
Okay. So, this isn't really mechanical. This is just, like, narrative. But neither of you, it's the best nap you ever had. But for getting any successes, like, you definitely... went awake feeling some of the weariness of the past week of your life sort of wash away. Like, you know, you got, obviously there was a stressful part today, but in comparison to your recent days, like this one has been pretty nice. Most of it was spent in a car.
Today is remarkable because we get to flip the board that says days since Spar's shirt has been ruined. He wore one shirt for an entire day.
Wow. And also flip the board of days Vellum hasn't been kidnapped.
Or had anyone come for his blood. Like it's been pretty triumphant.
Yeah, good day.
And just a lot of truly remarkable. So, Ela, what do you, I kind of have an image for what Yue Liang looks like, but is there anything you want to say about it before I describe it?
So I've been imagining it as kind of a forested mountain area, because that's what my hometown is like. That's an Ela fact for you. And, you know, it is kind of hidden. So there's like a well-worn path, but if you don't know where it is, you wouldn't really notice it. I think rather than have like a big gate or sign with the town's name, I think there's just kind of a small, innocuous looking little like guardian statue. Maybe a set of guardian statues kind of at the entrances and exits to Yue Liang. And while it's not like Clovenheart where you have to be invited to come in, there's still a general sort of sense of protection. And I don't know if that's like mechanical or magical at all versus just kind of a soothing feeling, but those are the vibes I got for you.
Okay.
Hashtag cloud recesses.
Yeah, yeah, a bit.
It's a good place to be from.
I wasn't imagining that as I was describing, but yeah. I was specifically remembering something from a Thousand Autumns fanfic, but yeah.
So what I'm picturing, let me know if this is cool, is that it's like a, it's a pretty narrow town. It's like built in like almost like, almost like it's almost like a big crack in the mountain. It almost looks, it was kind of what it looks like. And if you were to look down at it from above, you actually, because of the way the mountain slopes, you like wouldn't see a town. Because it's like a lot of it is built like in like kind of two columns, like along the bottom of the, like of that. So like when you look down, you would just see like trees and land, but like you wouldn't see like houses from above. All of the man-made structures are like hidden from view unless you're approaching from like the footpath, essentially.
Okay.
Does that seem cool?
Yeah, that seems cool.
Okay. And I imagine that you would all maybe abandon the Odyssey, like, 5-minute walk out town. That's kind of a crazy thing to roll up in. I mean, it's Ela's hometown. It's Vellum's hometown. You said you're not really sure if it's magical, mechanical, or what. Like, what do you think it is getting into town? Like, just like a vibe, and I can help you come up with something.
I think mechanical maybe makes a little bit more sense.
Okay.
With Vellum and Gray's backgrounds. Like, maybe even Gray helped set up kind of like a protection kind of, I don't know if that means there's like self-defense mechanisms built in the guardian statues or what, but
That's cool. Yeah, so maybe there's like because I don't get the sense this is like a shoot on site kind of vibe in this town, right? Like, there's not going to be like, oh, a stranger came in, the statue is going to shoot a crossbow bolt through your heart, and now the stranger is dead. Oh, they were someone seeking refuge. We feel really bad about that now.
Maybe more like when they approach the guardian statues, Vellum kind of presses a couple buttons in that were part of the sculpture that you wouldn't notice are buttons.
Yeah.
Can I pitch something?
Mm-hmm.
What if the stone guardians are functionally automata and like they pad into the center of the road to do like a vibe check, right? Like all you who enter here stop, and like it's not, you know, not a crossbow bolt to the heart. Hashtag just word of honor things. But instead, it's more of a, like, if you try to dodge around it, this enormous stone, I'm going to guess lion, or at least part lion creature, might swat you. Uh-huh. We'll do its best to, like, stand in your way. But if you are known to it, or, like, if you interact with it in the right way, and that could be, like, yeah, pushing buttons, like maybe you got to press its toe beans, I don't know. Yes. Then it recognizes you as friend, and it, like, goes back to its little perch.
I was picturing a Pishu.
What's that?
It is a Chinese mythical creature. They're often kind of seen as protectors of souls of the dead. They look like kind of little winged lions.
Yeah. I was thinking of, like, little guardian lion guys. Oh, they're chubby.
Yeah, they're chubby. Oh. They're real cute. So you'll often see these guys as little guardian statues.
For anybody who wants to Google and see them being chubby, it's P-I-X-I-U.
So yeah, you guys come upon the town. I imagine it's pretty sleepy because it's very late. Josepha says, I know there's a spa here, but perhaps we should defer to Agent Felon here for direction?
Yeah, sure. We can head to the hot springs. Before we get there, I should probably go see a couple people and let them know that we're here, or that I'm here.
Josepha nods. Merafina is actually going to put her hand on Velum's shoulder and say, Agent Velum, before we have a big homecoming of sorts, may I have a private word with you?
Velum will nod and say, of course.
Okay. Merafina will pull Velum away and say, can we walk into... And she gestures to kind of like a wooded area nearby. So something I want to show you.
Okay. Is Destiny with them?
Yes.
Good. To distract for a moment, I imagine Destiny having gone up to the guardians and given them both little boops.
Good. Very good.
Little sniffs to make sure that they pass Destiny's vibe check too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, Merafina says to everyone to spar, I'm going to borrow your friend for a moment. We'll be back. Actually, as my apprentice, I think he should be my apprentice first and your friend second. So I'm going to borrow my apprentice and I'll return him shortly.
Spar nods.
Velum wonders if Spar's boyfriend would take precedence over Merafina's apprentice, but decides not to ask.
Not to Merafina, I'll say that much. No. So yeah, she takes you away, and so like there's like a tree line kind of before like the mountain like sort of narrows into Yue Liang. There's like a kind of a wider forested area. She takes you beyond the tree line and she says, there's something I wanted to talk to you about. Both as we can call this our first lesson together as master and apprentice. And it is also a concern of mine and possibly an opportunity for you. And it isn't something you have to decide on right now, but it is something that you should think about, and I think you should think about it sooner than later.
Okay.
She is still just kind of guiding you through the trees and says, when we cast a spell, when we could do that, and before the radio, we asked the world, and maybe ask Thaumaterra to lend their magic to us. When we do runic magic, we write in a literal language, requesting the world cast the spell that we wish for it to cast. When we do somatic magic with our bodies, our body language sort of replaces that that runic writing, and our body's energy replaces some of Thaumatera's. That's why we get tired. Magic still exists because even though Thaumatera is gone and we can no longer ask Thaumatera for assistance, Thaumatera's energy, whatever it was that we were manipulating, still permeates our planet. She comes to a patch of flowers that are, you would recognize them. They're these bulb, they'll kind of look like tulips, but they're like the petals glow naturally. And she says, these tulips glow is a magical effect. If Merrim were here, he could hear them. There is magic flowing through them, like magic flows through the veins of altered people. And their veins, or sorry, their roots reach into the heart of the world and draw from its magic. And through them glow is a beautiful essence that would blind you to behold. And when you pull one out of the ground, there is excess, this blue light going through the roots, right? And that keeps them sustained for months, years, even after you pull them from the ground, yes. Sorry for the rudimentary lesson, by the way. All of this is to make a point. And she reaches down, and she pulls out the flower, and its roots are rotted and black.
Ah.
And the light goes out immediately. And she says, magic is going away from this world. For good. In all shapes, I think. Magical artifacts, like wands, anything, like pre-enchanted watering cans and soil and clothing, that's not going to last forever. It's all going away, I do believe. However, from what little I can see, this radio you have works on entirely different principles. It's using something else, something other than Thaumatera, or I'm misunderstanding all of this. My point is that your uncle's company may soon be the sole purveyor of magic in the world. And that is a very powerful thing to be. And you, I know, are having difficulty trusting your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather you be the one to hold these keys to magic's reemergence, because I know that you are someone who wishes to use magic to heal and never harm, to protect rather than destroy.
Right.
If you could be sure that Gray Harrington is such a person too, that would be wonderful. But you already have much to consider and much to shoulder. And unfortunately, I do find that this is a weighty addition to your load. I am here for guidance. I have some investment, I suppose, in the safety of the world. Because Clovenheart's in the world, and I care about the Clovenheart.
Mm-hmm.
So, she kind of pats you on the shoulder, and says, good luck, kiddo, and just starts walking back to the crowd.
Vellum nods, and is just like, yep, I'll do my best.
So as Vellum and Merafina rejoin the crowd, what is Vellum thinking?
I think Vellum is worried about Gray and thinks that Gray is currently blinded by their ambitions and dreams of bringing back Vellum's parents. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, a little bit stressed by what Merafina just said, but, you know, if it comes to that, he'll worry about it then. He kind of decides and just kind of compartmentalizes a little bit, one thing at a time.
That's probably smart, yeah.
But he's also looking forward to introducing Spar to his parents while they're in town.
Essay, what is Spar thinking as you see Vellum and Merafina emerge from the woods?
I think Spar is on alert because, you know, is that actually Merafina? Is it somehow Tatiana? Is Merafina somehow working with Gray? So he's got... He's sort of keeping watch and keeping an ear cocked. And I think he's a little, like, worried and concerned aren't quite right. They're a little too strong. I think he's attentive to the fact that homecoming can be hard, especially because this isn't where Vellum lives now. Vellum didn't choose to live in Yueliang. He lives in Vasa Nishura. So he's got physically and mentally, he's sort of got, you know, like an ear cocked for danger. And also, like, in a way, he's sort of emotionally alert to be like, hey, is this a hard thing? Does Vellum need a kind of gentleness that he won't give himself?
Three of Hearts is Essay Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mitro theme is At Last a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
During the drive, when everyone but Josepha and Merafina are asleep, and Josepha is sort of wondering if Merafina even does sleep, Tomorrow's problem suddenly stalls out, just stops dead in the middle of the road. Josepha remembered Ishbala's earlier comment that whoever drove Tomorrow's problem next would have to sweet-talk her or flatter her into letting them drive. So Josepha looks around, kind of embarrassed at everyone else in the car who is still asleep, other than Merafina, who is looking out the window and, as usual, does not really seem concerned about the affairs of mortals. Not to say that she's not mortal, she just doesn't even really care about her own affairs that much. And Josepha says, "Oh, hello there. Tomorrow's problem? You are a very... a shiny car. You remind me of, like a beautiful crystal, or a particularly
smooth rock that I might run my hand across. You are unlike anything else, except for those things that I just mentioned. And tomorrow's problem remains stalled. And Josepha says, you know, I promise I have better games than this when I am talking to a person and not a... I mean, you are a very lovely card, tomorrow's problem. Josepha is thinking about a time back when they were a wealthy heiress in their elf teens, which are just regular teens. Back in their regular teens, late teens, early 20s, there was this person they kept encountering at the sort of fancy parties they would attend in Stoneloft. They never got their name, but they were a person that they would describe as sleek and shiny and singular, the way that tomorrow's problem is. Josepha had thought of them very often in those days, and still remembering the way they felt about them then kind of brings some warmth to Josepha, and she says, tomorrow's problem, you are a very beautiful car, and your cushions and these seats are so voluptuous, they feel so nice against my skin, and oh, these curves of the steering wheel, and oh, the hood, it is just unlike anything else, and it's, I was drawn to you the moment I saw you. Tomorrow's problem starts to get warm, and Josepha can almost feel that, like, the car is blushing. And she doesn't know that she loves that. But the car begins to spur to life, and she's able to drive it once more. Ishbala, who is asleep in the passenger seat, lets out a little amused snort, but gives no sign of being awake.